You can open up here to page 219 in the Chumash. And then we'll try to organize ourselves here. Now what's interesting here is that Parshas Ki Tisa gives us an opportunity to speak about Shabbos, because the mitzvah of Shabbos, which appears in many parshas in the Torah, appears here in Parshas Ki Tisa as well, but in a very unique kind of way. So that you'll see here in Shmos Lamed Daled, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Sheshes Yomim Tavod Uvayom Ashvi Tishbos Bechatzir Uvekatzir Becharish Uvekatzir Tishbos. So that's the mitzvah of Shabbos. Now I'm going to give you a quick list of a number of places where Shabbos appears in the Torah. It's really a long list. It appears back in Shmos Chav Gimel. Let's just take a quick peek there. Chav Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis. Okay, we'll do a little research project here before the... Chav Gimel Yud Beis. That would be on page 186. Okay, and there we have Sheshes Yomim Ta'asem Lakab Yom Ashvi Tishbos. So we have the mitzvah of Shabbos. And then you'll notice what follows afterwards is Sholosh Regolim Tochogli Bashana. It goes through Chag HaMatzos, then Chag HaShavuos, and then Chag HaSukkos. Finally, Sholosh Palmim Bashana Yerkol Zchurcha. So the pattern here in Parshas Mishpatim is that Shabbos comes first, and then the Sholosh Regolim. Now let's see if we can follow the same pattern again and again. Let's look in Parshas Emor, Vayikra Chav Gimel. Okay, so we'll fast forward to the beginning of Vayikra Chav Gimel. And there again, you'll see on page 306, Sheshes Yomim Tasem Alocha in Pasuk Gimel, Uvayom Ashvi Shabbos Shabboson. So again, Shabbos comes first, because after that, in Pasuk Dalet, Eilu Moadei Hashem Mikrei Kodesh, and once again, he starts with Pesach. We'll see it one more time in Bamibar Chaf Ches. Okay, now we're fast forwarding to Bamidbar Chav Ches, that's Parshas Pinchas, Pasuk Tes, which is on page 411, Ubayom HaShabbos, and then after Yom HaShabbos, starting with Pasuk Tes 9, it goes through Pesach, and then Shavuos and Sukkos. So we have four times the Torah presents Shabbos. I'm not talking about Aseres HaDibros, that's something else. But in the four times that the Torah presents Shabbos, immediately afterwards you have the Sholosh Regol. Now let's take a look here in our parasha, Parashas Ki Tisa, and here we see a very strange exception to the rule, and that's going to be on page 219. And there it says the following. We're looking at Pasuk Yuches in Perek Lamed Daled, and it says Eschag Matzos Tishmar. So it begins with Pesach, and then if you fast forward to Pasuk Chof Beis, you have Chag HaShavuos. And then again, it's going to give you the mitzvah of Sholosh Pamim Bashana. And wedged in the middle here, we have Shabbos. And that's in Pasuk Chof Aleph. Sheshes Yom Tav Yom Shi Tishbos. So the question that the Ramban wants to address here is, why is it that in Ki Tisa, as an exception to the rule, Shabbos appears after Pesach, sort of wedged in there between Pesach and Shavuos, whereas the pattern that repeats itself over and over again is that Shabbos comes first, and then the Regolim come later. This parasha of Ki Tisa is seen as the exception to the rule. Why? Not only because majority rules, but also because logically, Shabbos is considered the source for all Moadim. Moadim, all the Moadim are sort of like encompassed by the Shabbos. The Moadim are microcosms. The Shabbos is seen as the macrocosm. You know, it incorporates everything, all the Kedushos. Yeah. So why is it that here in Parshas Ki Tisa we find that Shabbos comes after Pesach? So we're going to leave the Ramban on the side for a moment, and what we want to do is take a look at the Maharal Prague, although the Maharal Prague is certainly not addressing this question at all, but hopefully if we study the Maharal Prague, we can come back to this question a little bit later. Okay then? Okay. So now, which...
You want to sit, Rabbi?
No, I have a chair here. I just have to fix it a little bit. It got dismembered here, but it's still fundamentally usable. And in order to introduce this Maharal Prague, we're going to take a look at a pasuk. Let's see if we can get this down pat. Yeah, the Maharal Prague wrote a book called Tiferes Yisrael. And we have it here, Baruch Hashem, in our library. It's one of the recent acquisitions. And let me see if I can give you a copy of that. Let's see. Okay, here's the Tiferes Yisrael. It's Perek Mem Gimel, and it's spread apart. It stretches out over many, many pages. Wow. I couldn't possibly photocopy all the pages, but this is one copy.
Okay.
So what we'll do is we'll sort of summarize, you know, some of the main points here, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
And then, if you'd like, we can make some copies of this. Okay then?
Yep.
So let's just give a sort of like an overview, a summary of what the Maharal says here in Perek Mem Gimel of Sefer Tiferes. And there's a very basic, or shall I say, fundamental point that he makes over here. He writes that there is a fundamental difference between the first four Chumashim and the fifth Chumash. The fifth Chumash is called, in the Gemara's language, in Masechta Megillah, Mishneh Torah. And the Maharal thinks that everything is in the name. You know, if you want to look and find the essence of something, you look at its name. Names are not given just like this. If you take, for example, the third book of the five, it's called Toras Kohanim. Mm-hmm. But that really doesn't reveal anything surprising about the third book, Vayikra, because really what's being presented in the third book in Vayikra are the laws of the Kohanim. Mm-hmm. But here the phrase Mishneh Torah, which is used by Chazal to describe the fifth book, that seems to call it something unique. It's something essential to the fifth book. It's called Mishneh Torah. And he writes, Hefresh Yesh Bein Mishneh Torah Bein Shara Torah. This is pretty revolutionary. That according to the Maharal, there's a fundamental difference between the fifth book and the first four. And he writes the following. He says, when someone gives a gift, so then there's the giver, the nosein, and then there's the receiver, the mekabel. And you could emphasize both. From the perspective of the nosein, you emphasize the nosein. From the perspective of the mekabel, obviously you emphasize the mekabel. And he says the following.
when we look at the Torah, we can define the Torah from the dimension of the giver of the Torah, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Nosein HaTorah. Or we can look at the second dimension of the Torah, which is Yisrael receiving the Torah. He says the following: if one person gives something to his friend, assuming that the giver and the receiver are shavim b'madrega, they're on the same level, then there's no difference between the giver and the receiver. But in the case of the Torah, obviously, God as the giver is infinite, whereas Klal Yisrael, as great as they are, but they're still finite beings. And therefore he says that we talk about Hashem as the Nosein HaTorah. We on the recipients are all the way down here on earth. You know, we are the physical limited beings. And he says that in that sense, we must differentiate between the Nosein and the Makabel. We can't equalize them because they're not equal. One is high and infinite, the other is down on this earth and finite. So he says the following: which of these two dimensions do we emphasize? Yeshkan, he says, Bechina miyuchedes mitzad ha-Nosein. There's a very special element and dimension of the Torah, mitzad Hashem, who gives the Torah, ubechina acheres mitzad hamakabel. And there's another dimension, which is much more limited, but nevertheless mitzad klal Yisrael, insofar as they are receiving the Torah. And it's interesting, the Maharal elsewhere claims that the giving of the Torah and the receiving of the Torah happened on two different days. That's what he says. He says that on the 50th day, God gave the Torah, but we accepted the Torah on the 51st day. Okay, that's a different Maharal. I don't want to get off on a tangent. That requires its own stuff. He says the following: HaTorah kula chutz mi Mishneh Torah. The first four books, he says. He says, Ra'ui, it's fitting, She'imotzei ba habachina mitzad hanosein. All the emphasis is going to be on Hashem as the giver of the Torah, in a sense, first person, you know, Anochi, and Hashem is speaking, and the language is going to be the language of Hashem. The style of the first four books is different than that of the fifth, because in the fifth book, he says, which is the end of the process of giving the Torah, the emphasis here is on the Makabel, on Klal Yisrael receiving the Torah. Kasher Gomar HaNosein, when the giver of the Torah completes, so that last stage of the completion of the process of giving the Torah is when the Torah is received. Now the language is going to be a little bit different, because now the language in the fifth book is going to be the language of the Makabel HaTorah. Now, in terms of the Kabbalah, who represents the Kabbalah?
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Moshe Rabbeinu, excellent. So the language of the fifth book is really the language of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's why it's called Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah means it's kind of an interpretation or an embellishment of the Torah. Meaning, perhaps the language of the Torah in the first four Sfarim, the first four Chumashim, are sometimes a little bit harsh. For example, he says at the end of Vayikra, we have the Tochacha, and there the terrible Tochacha of Parshas Bechukosai is very, very harsh. It's the language of Hashem. But then there's another Tochacha, which is in Mishneh Torah, in Sefer Dvarim, and that Tochacha, he says, is already more toned down. That's in Parshas, Kisavo, in Parshas Kisavo. He says that's already the Bechina Mitzad Makabel. And that's why the Mishneh Torah opens with the words Hoil Moshe Uber Es HaTorah Zos. Moshe represents the Makabel HaTorah. Now, from here on, for about two chapters, the Maharal continues in his investigation of the language of the first four books in comparison and contrast to the fifth book. And he brings many, many proofs that the discrepancies between the two are to be interpreted to explain by this distinction, because the first four books are the nosein, whereas the last are the makabel. So, for example, he says that in the Aseres HaDibros, which are given in Parshas Yisro in Shmos, Moshe Yedaber Velokim Yanenu Bekol, the Dibur really of Hashem. Moshe is just a conduit to bring that Dibur to Klal Yisrael. So in a sense, it's what you call, he doesn't use this term here, but he says, Shechina Midaberes Mitoch Grono Shel Moshe. It's as if the Shechina itself, herself, is speaking through the voice, the vocal cords of Moshe. And he says, therefore, the Gemara Megillah and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis says that Klolos Shebemishneh Torah Moshe Mipi Atzmo Omram. So there are two insights here in the Gemara Megillah, the language of the Gemara. Number one, that the last book, meaning Sefer Dvarim, is called Mishneh Torah. It has its own name. And number two, that the klolos, which are given in Parshas Ki Tovo, in Mishneh Torah, are coming from the language of Moshe. Now, when it says Mipi Atzmo, he says, don't misunderstand that. It doesn't mean that Lo Hoya Hashem Yisbrach Nosein Dibur Bipiv. It's not that Moshe spoke on his own without Hashem, but it means that Moshe initiated the speaking. Hashem codified it, so to speak. He gave it a status of Torah, and it was given through Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's more karov. The language is going to be more directly connected or reflective of the makabel, of the recipient of the Torah. And again, even though Hashem Yisbarach gave all the Torah, and with regard to all the Torah, it makes no difference which of the five books, Yisrael or the makablim, but nevertheless, the sof, the end of this process of giving the Torah, which is represented by Mishneh Torah, there the emphasis of the language and the style is going to be indicative of the Makabala Torah. The Makabal becomes the Ikar, the main thrust. And that's Mishneh Torah. And that's what it means that the Mishneh Torah is coming to be Mavar the Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to be Mavar the Torah. Now, in this context, he goes through the Aseres HaDibros of Parshas Yisro in Sefer Shmos, and the Aseres HaDibros of Parshas Vayeschanan in Sefer Dvarim, and he shows that there are a host of discrepancies between the two. And in each case, he explains those differences based on this fundamental difference, that the first four books emphasize the Nosein, and the last book emphasizes the Makabel. And that's how he justifies all these differences. And that would be an interesting research project to go through, if we had the time. But what I do, so what I just gave you now is kind of an overview of these pages from the book Tiferes. I have one copy. If anybody wants to take it, please take it, because I have nothing to, I don't need it right now. And if more than one person wants a copy, then we have to photocopy it. But Baruch Hashem, we have a new photocopy machine here. So that's the good news.
May I ask a question at this point?
Yeah, please.
Do I understand correctly from this point in the shir that we believe that the entire five books, including the last book, was a nevuah from Moshe via Hashem? It wasn't the case that Moshe is now recounting through his own words, his own lashon, what transpired?
Right, it always comes from Hashem, but in the case of the fifth book, the initiative, the first step, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Uh-huh. He's going to present his formulation of the nevuah of the prophecy. Hashem is going to listen and accept it, codify it, and then give it back to Moshe a second time around. But the first stage is going to be that of Moshe Rabbeinu. In the first four books, Moshe Rabbeinu is purely passive. He's just listening. He's a scribe who's writing down a dictation from Hashem, and that's the Nosein HaTorah. And based on the fact that in the last book, the Chumash of Mishneh Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu's language is the initiating language that starts the process, and that's why the book of what's it called in English, Deuteronomy, I think, is that what it's called? Yeah, it begins with the words Hoil Moshe Be'eres HaTorah Zos. The emphasis here is on Moshe. But again, the Kedusha, the sanctity of the Torah, is the same identical sanctity throughout all five books. Every word has the same identical sanctity. But in terms of the style, the way it's being formulated and presented, there's a difference between Mishneh Torah at the end, when we're getting up to the Makabel, and the first four Sfar. And again, to appreciate this thesis, we would really have to go through all the explanations and the justifications that the Maharal interprets and explains the discrepancies between the two. I'm saying between the Mishneh Torah and the first four Sfar. Okay. Now we have a problem. Okay? We're going to raise a question. And this question I found in a sefer called Pachad Yitzchak, which we've quoted in the past. And there are many volumes to the Pachad Yitzchak. I think there are 10 volumes all told. And in one volume, he discusses Shabbos. So I thought since Kisisa is the parish of Shabbos, it would be kedai to open up the Pachad Yitzchak, and sure enough, he quotes this Maharal. And after he quotes this Maharal, he says that he has a problem with the Maharal. He doesn't understand. Why? Because the Maharal is going to justify discrepancies between the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro and the Aseres HaDibros in Vaschanon, based on the fact that the Aseres HaDibros in Vaschanon are in Sefer Mishneh Torah, and therefore the language is going to be the language of the Makabel. But he says there's a problem, because those discrepancies were in the Luchos, meaning there were two sets of Luchos. There was the first set of Luchos, and formulation, the text, if you will, of the Aseres HaDibros in the first set of Luchos corresponds to that of Sefer Shmos, of Parshas V'Yisro. And then Moshe destroyed, of course, that set of Luchos. Hashem told him to carve out a second set of tablets, and he gave Moshe Rabbeinu the second set of Luchos. Those Luchos reflect the Nusach, the formulation of the Aseres HaDibros that we find in Mishneh Torah in Parshas Vayeschanan and Sefer Dvorim. Now wait a second. The Maharal just finished saying that the difference between the two Nuschos is because one is in Sefer Shmos and the other is in Mishneh Torah. The Mishneh Torah stands alone with its own unique style. But way before those five Chumashim were given, Moshe Rabbeinu already had the second set of Luchos. So the discrepancies between the two sets of Luchos are not inherent or not a result of the difference between Mishneh Torah and the rest of the Torah. They are inherent in the difference between the first set of Luchos and the second set of Luchos, which were given at the same period of time. So what do we do with this Maharal? So what I have here is an amazing insight here of the Pachad Yitzchak. And he suggests that mathematically, the only way we can understand this Maharal Miprag is if we assume that this distinction between the Nosein and the Makabel applies to the two sets of Luchos as well. Meaning that the first set of Luchos is somehow, very intensely connected to the Nosein, and the second set of Luchos is more intensely connected to the Makabel. Now, how do we justify this? Hashem gave the first set of Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu plays no role whatsoever. He's totally passive. He receives the first set of Luchos. Nimsu Moshe, and there was a tremendous miracle with regard to the first set of Luchos. Hen ksuvim mishnei evrehem. You could read it from both sides. It's, I mean, it's a mind-boggling miracle. We can't even understand how that works. Whereas the Luchos Hashnios, the second set of Luchos, Nifsilu al Yidei Moshe, Moshe chiseled out the letters, and you could only read those letters from one side and not from the other. In other words, who plays the major role in the nusach, in the word, in the way that the luchos could be read in the case of the second luchos? It's the Makabel, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. He plays the major role. He's dominant because he's going to carve out the letters. The first set of luchos he received, the luchos, they were already written in this miraculous way by the hand of God. Here it's the hand of Moshe. And therefore, the same distinction that the Maharal insists upon between Mishneh Torah as opposed to the rest of the Chumash applies between the second set of Luchos and the first. That the Darga, the level or the dimension of the second set of Luchos in comparison to the first set of Luchos is exactly parallel to the difference in Darga between Mishneh Torah and the first four Chumashim. And therefore it makes sense that the Nusach that Moshe Rabbeinu received in the second set of Luchos is going to appear in Mishneh Torah. Because in the second set of Luchos, it's Moshe Rabbeinu who's taking the initiative. He's carving out the letters. It's the Makabel HaLuchos who plays the major role. And that's exactly the initiative of Moshe Rabbeinu in Mishneh Torah and Parshas V'eschanan. So this, I thought, was a fascinating insight. Now, perhaps, we could swing back to the question that we began with. In Parshas Ki Tisa, when Shabbos appears, it is wedged between Chag HaPesach, which comes first, and Chag HaShavuos, which comes second. And that's in contrast to every other time in the Torah when Shabbos is presented together with the Moadim. And first, the Torah presents Shabbos as the major powerhouse and the source for Kedushas Hayom. And then, Sholosh Pa'amim Bashana Yirah Kol Zchurcha, the mitzvah of Sholosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Why here is the order changed? In Ki Tisa, first it says Pesach. Again, this is all on page 219. It says Eschag Matzos Tishmar, etc. Then it says Sheshes Yom Tav Yom Shvi Tishbos, and then Chag HaShavuos Tasal. So the Ramban offers the following answer: the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Torah presenting here the Sholosh Regalim, even though it appears three times besides this parsha, an additional three times, it's already been mentioned in Parsha As Mishpatim, it'll come up again and again in Emor and in Pinchas, is to tell us something very important. And that is that something happened between Yitzias Mitzrayim and this parsha of Ki Tisa. What happened here in Perek Lamed Daled, and it really starts in Perek Lamed Gimel, the Chetai. Says the Ramban, we have a Havamina, it would cross our mind, that in the aftermath of the Chetai Egel, there could no longer be a mitzvah of Sholosh Pa'amim Yerah Kol Zechurah. In other words, that special level, that special, you know, what example could I give, that opportunity to be summoned by the king. You remember, of course, in Megillas Esther, it wasn't so simple for Esther to show up. And, you know, Anilo Karol HaMelech, you have to be summoned by the king. Not everyone gets an audience with the king. You know, I can call up the president and say, Don, you know, I'd like to come see you, you know, but he, you know, if I'm lucky, he'll put me on the bottom of a list that has, you know, 22 million people on, I don't know. So that Yirah Kol Zechurcha, you know, the special merit of Klal Yisrael to show up together with the Shekhinah in the Beis HaMikdash three times a year, that we have to deserve that. You know, you got to be holding a membership card in a very special nation. And now that the nation went down and worshipped the Egel, we no longer have rights We cannot wave the flag and say, well, we are members of this special nation that could come three times a year to be in close, intimate relationship with the Shekhinah and the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, says the Ramban, that's why the Torah here, immediately following the Chet HaEgel, immediately following that episode, records and reiterates these three Moadim, Shalosh Panim, Yerah, Kol Zechuchah, even after the Chet HaEgel. We have not forfeited our stature, our status, to be able to fulfill this great mitzvah, Shalosh Panim, of going up to the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Ramban, that is going to explain why Chag HaPesach comes first. And he says the following. When Hashem gives the mitzvah of Shabbos, and Shabbos is Zecher, is meant to connect us to something, to two different events. There are basically two dimensions to the Shabbos. One is Zecher L'Maisa Bereishis, and that appears at the very beginning of the Torah. And then it says in the parasha of Shabbos, after Anochi Hashem Elokecha Shehotzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, we're meant to remember on Shabbos Yetzias Mitzrayim. So there are two dimensions to Shabbos. One is the dimension of Briyas HaOlam, and the other is Yetzias Mitzrayim. As far as the Briyas HaOlam is concerned, that's Min HaShamayim, you know, that's something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that's totally the Nosein, the Makabel doesn't really play any role. But as far as Shabbos and its connection with Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We received our freedom, our liberation from Mitzrayim. That's something that's related to the Makabel. The whole focus of Shabbos here is on the Makabel. Since the dimension of Shabbos here in Parshas Kitisa is a dimension of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's the Shabbos of Parshas Kitisa. It is related to Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is, by the way, the Nusach of Kiddush, Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim on Friday night. Therefore, the question is, as a Makabel, do we deserve, maybe when we left Mitzrayim we did deserve the Shabbos, but now, fast forward to post Chet HaEgel, maybe now we no longer deserve that element of Shabbos that is connected to the Makabel, insofar as we reached a certain level at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Atav HaKartanu, you have chosen us, you have taken us out of Mitzrayim, and you're giving us the Shabbos. We deserve the Shabbos on that level, but now we no longer deserve the Shabbos. The whole emphasis here is on the question of whether Yetzias Mitzrayim and that level that we achieved at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim is still relevant. So the first thing that Hashem is going to present here is Chag HaPesach. Why? Because Chag HaPesach is going to take us back. We're going to sort of like jump from today over, you know, going backwards over the Chet HaEgel all the way back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's Chag HaPesach. In a certain sense, it's Chag HaPesach that becomes the introduction to Shabbos. Again, we cannot deviate from a very fundamental principle. All the sanctities of all the Shalosh Regalim are encompassed, are inherent in that overriding, gigantic Kedusha, the sanctity of Shabbos. All the Regalim are simply offshoots and smaller expressions of the great, gigantic Kedusha of Shabbos. That's a fundamental principle. And that's why over and over and over again the Torah will introduce Shabbos and then the Shalosh Regalim. In this case, since the Torah wants to emphasize the Shabbos from the perspective of the Makabel, and the Makabel means Klal Yisrael, whose history begins and emerges with Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hashem loves us and takes us out of Mitzrayim, at that point He's willing to give us the Shabbos of Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim. We as Makabelim deserve the Shabbos, we can experience the Shabbos and enjoy it. However, now the question is, have we forfeited our rights? Are we already way beyond Yetzias Mitzrayim on the lower level? We have dipped below the level of Klal Yisrael Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that dimension of Shabbos we cannot deserve. That's what the Torah wants to start off in saying Pesach. We still have Pesach. Pesach means we go back to the level of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Then the Torah introduces Shabbos to tell us that we deserve the Shabbos. So what have we learned today so far in what I call round number one? Because I have round number two. We said the following. Parshas Ki Tisa has Shabbos in it, which is a great occasion for us to study the significance of Shabbos. We were wondering, why is it that in all the places where the Torah presents Shabbos and then the Moedim, it's always Shabbos first and Moedim second. The exception here is Parshas Ki Tisa. We start with Pesach and then the Torah introduces Shabbos. We mentioned the Ramban, that the whole reason why Shabbos was placed here together with the Moedim in Parshas Ki Tisa is to tell us that we still deserve the mitzvah of Shalosh Pa'amim Yirah Kol Zechurcha despite the Chet HaEgel, and therefore immediately after the Chet HaEgel the Torah tells us Shalosh Regalim. And now we present the thesis of the Maral that there are two dimensions to Torah. There's the dimension of the Nosein HaTorah, which is the source and the explanation for the style of the first four books of the Torah. And then there's the Torah from the dimension of the Mekabel HaTorah, from Klal Yisrael receiving the Torah, and that's Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah already has a different style. And that literary style is due to the fact that the emphasis is on the Mekabel HaTorah. What we gain from this is that, number one, the Aseres HaDibros, which are given twice, in the Luchos HaRishonos, Luchos HaShnios, the first set of Luchos will reflect the Nosein. Here Hashem creates the Luchos with that miraculous ability that you can read it from both sides. Moshe Rabbeinu is purely passive, he doesn't play any role. That represents the Nosein. And it's appropriate, therefore, that the first set of Luchos and its style, its Nusach, should be recorded in one of the first four books of the Torah, namely in Parshas Yisro and Sefer Shmos. The second set of Luchos is already Moshe takes the initiative. Psol Lecha, he does the Pisul, he does the writing of the Luchos. It's his initiative, there's no miracle here. And this Nusach is going to be reflective of Mishneh Torah, because it's already a Mekabel initiated Nusach. In that sense, we go to Shabbos and we say that Shabbos also has two dimensions. There's a Shabbos that's kulo, it's totally, completely related to the Nosein of Shabbos, because that's the Bore, the creator of the universe. Man plays no role. Hashem is the creator. But there's another dimension to Shabbos in which man is a major player. And that's the Zecher not Lebrias HaOlam, L'Sheishis Yimei HaMaaseh, but rather the Zecher to Yitzias Mitzrayim. And in that context, man becomes a major player. The emphasis is now on the Mekabel. In the case of Parshas Ki Tisa, Hashem wants to tell us that we still have that level of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We still deserve the Shabbos. We deserve the Shalosh Regalim, because we are still that nation that was chosen to receive the great experience of liberation, of Me'avdus L'Cherus. Now we're ready for the Shabbos. Now we're ready for the Shalosh Regalim. The introduction to that parasha is going to be Chag HaPesach, because Chag HaPesach teaches us that we still have the Yetzias Mitzrayim element. We are that same identical nation, even after the Chet HaEgel, of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, that's number one for tonight. Now we go on to number two. Okay. Now, number two is the following. In the parasha of Shabbos, we find that the Torah says the following. Let's open up for the first time that Shabbos is mentioned, that's at the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis, and that's going to be on page 5. On the bottom of page 5, Vayechulu Hashamayim Va'aretz, etc., etc. And then it says, Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i Melachto Asher Asah. So Hashem completes the process following the sixth day, and then on the seventh day, Vayishvos, And then it says, "Vayivarech Elokim es Yom Hashvi Vayikadesh." Also, that's in Pasuk Gimel on page 6. So we have here a Vayikadesh also. So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says that Vayivarech Vayikadesh Bircho Biman. Rashi says that there was a blessing on Shabbos of Man, that all the days of the week there was one portion of Omer L'Gulgoles, but for the sake of Shabbos, on the sixth day, there was Lechem Mishpah. So for the sake of the bracha of Shabbos, we got a bracha in the Man, and we got double portion on Friday. Then he says, V'kidsho b'man. Shelo Yorad Klal B'Shabbos. That is a Kedusha. Kedusha always means to resist something, you know, to the non-entity. That's always Kedusha. Right? What we call Kadish Atzmecha B'Mutulcha, to refrain from something. Hashem refrains from bringing down the man on Shabbos. And that's what it means when it says Vayikadish Osa. So the Ramban, in his commentary on the Torah, just pounces upon this Rashi. He attacks him. He gets a little bit, you know, ballistic about it. He says that v'chi dibra Torah al hasidos. Here, this is the point at which God created the world, and God says that He sanctified the Shabbos. You tell me He sanctified the Shabbos? Says Rashi, b'man kinshu b'man. The man is going to happen thousands of years later. We're going to get the man in the midbar, will get a man, a portion of man every day of the week, and on Shabbos no man falls from Shemayim. That's the Kiddush that Hashem says over here at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, the time of creation. And the Ramban's language, which I'd like to quote to you, I have it here.
The man was created Ben HaShemashot on Friday.
Ben HaShemashot on Friday.
Okay,
Friday meaning before the creation. Maybe that's what Rashi means. Rashi says, "Kinsho b'man shel yorah b'Shabbos." So the Ramban says, "Ain b'masha shakosiv yedaber basidos." That the Torah is talking about in the future when the man is going to stop falling on Shabbos. Now, you may be right that the man was created before Sheshis Mebreshis, but nevertheless, the cessation, if there's such a word, the cessation of the falling of the man didn't happen historically until much later. So at this point, we're going to open up the Maral Miprag. Now you know that the Maral Miprag wrote a work on Chumash, and his goal is to embellish Rashi. Okay then? So I have here, again, two pages. You can either photocopy it or not, that's up to you, of the Maral's work on Chumash, which is called the Gur Aryeh. Okay? And Gur Aryeh has to do with Shevet Yehuda, and that's why he chose the name, because his name was Yehuda. Fine. Now, we're going to take a look at the Maral in Gur Aryeh. What page was it again there? If you can just read it. Nun Dalet. Okay, good.
Nun Gimel starts in.
Okay, fine. So it says here that by Kadesh Bircho B'man Kidsho B'man, Rashi says that Lo Yorad Haman on Shabbos. Hiksha Ramban Ein Zeh B'Mashmos HaKosim V'Al HaOsit. Says the Maral Miprag, Ube Emes Lo Hutzrach Rashi Zal Lomar Ki HaKosim Medaber Al Shem HaOsit. You cannot commit Rashi to this very tight position that the Pasuk is talking Al Shem HaOsit. You know, there are psukim in the Torah where we say the Pasuk anticipates what's going to happen in the future, but this is not one of them. But rather, he says, the Medrash, which Rashi is quoting here, Razal, which means Rabbi Hosseinu Zichron Levach, Lo Heviu Rak Raya. All they wanted to do was prove that Yom Hashvi hu mevurach u mekudosh. And what's going to be the source for their proof? Man. Aval bevadai hu mevurach mekudosh mi'atzmo. So in other words, what Chazal are doing, and Rashi is quoting Chazal, is basically bringing a raya from man. In other words, the bracha and the kedusha of Shabbos is inherent in Shabbos in and of itself without the man. The man is just a proof that there is a bracha and that there is a kedusha to Shabbos. How do we prove there's a bracha to Shabbos? Because later on, the man is going to fall a double portion on Erev Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos. How do we prove the kedusha of Shabbos? Because later on, the man is not going to fall on Shabbos. That's what it says here in the Gerarie, and therefore it's not that the Torah is written al shem asidos, just the Chazal are bringing the asidos as a raya that there was a bracha and a kedusha inherent in Shabbos in and of itself. Forget about the historical fact of man. The historical fact of man is nothing more than a proof in order to establish beyond the shadow of a doubt that Shabbos has these two elements of both. Of both bracha and kiddusha. So I looked in the Pachad Yitzchak. Again, I told you he has a volume dedicated to Shabbos. And here in Maimar Gimel, and I'll give you again the pages if you decide that you want to photocopy them. Because I can't do all the photocopying for myself, especially when I'm quoting so many different sources. That's very hard for me. So he says here in Maimar Gimel, which is on page Mem Gimel in the second paragraph, which is Beis, he says, Vehine, at the end of that paragraph, Etzem Musag Haraya, he says, the concept of bringing a proof in this context, Eino Elatema, Klum Zokaku Akosu Divaikadishos Solarayos? If the Torah says and testifies that God sanctified the Shabbos, do we need to bring proofs for this? Ishuvim imakom acher? You know, today, if you want to prove that you're a citizen of this country, you have to bring proof. So if you have a tudat zehut, fine. If not, you bring other documents. But do we need documents to prove that God sanctified the Shabbos? It says in the Pasuk that God sanctified the Shabbos. Now we have to go out and find proofs. Now, he has a long presentation on this topic, which is called Maimar Gimel. For a moment, I just want to fast forward to the punchline. I don't know if you've ever done this, if you have a novel and you read the end of the novel.
No.
You know, you read no, it's not right. But you could read, like for example, Rav Avadya Yosef has tshuvas that are 40, 50 pages long. So some people, they read the question, which is the first paragraph, then they fast forward to the last page just to read his final conclusion. They don't read the 50 pages in the middle. So we're going to do something like that. And then we'll try to fill in the middle if we can. But towards the end of this very long presentation, on page Memtes, which is paragraph number Yud, he writes, V'chozrim anu bazeh, after all that I've presented to you, we can now go back to the Maral, the Parshas Vayichu, the Maral in Gerari at the beginning of the Torah. And he reiterates what the Maral says, that this is not Al Asidos, we're not talking about what's going to happen down the line, but we're quoting the Parsha of Man and what happened historically with the Man as a proof to the Kedusha Sashabis. The Amarnu B'Zem, we ask the question, Otu Zokuku Akosiv Lerayos Vishur Mivachutz, do we need proofs from history to establish that which the Pasuk itself testifies? That's very, very odd. He says, Onom Heim Heim Advarim Shalom Madu B'Marizeki Mi Minias Haman b'Shabbos, the fact that the man did not fall on Shabbos, Melamedes Osanu, it teaches us Altivo Shel Kiddush HaShabbos. In other words, we're not bringing a proof. That's not what the Maral means. What he means, a raya means a proof to understand the nature of Kiddush HaShabbos. The man is going to teach me something, the fact that the man didn't fall on Shabbos, about the nature of Kiddush HaShabbos. Now the next three lines are very, shall I say, enigmatic. He writes, Ki ba'od she'pu'ulas shamayim v'artz miskayemes b'Shabbos, hinei pu'ulas horodas haman posekes hi b'Shabbos, u'makirin anu b'zeh es tivo shel sug hamitzius hachodesh anolad bekocho shel kedusha shabbos. This is all what I call total gibberish. But the only reason it's gibberish is because we skipped six pages. I'm just going to make a bracha. Bracha to Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol ne'eh b'dvaro.
Amen.
Now, the question that I have here is whether or not I can somehow summarize those six pages for you in such a way that they'll be intelligible. So let me just look at the clock and see how much time. I have about 10-15 minutes left. Those who came late will be punished and they have to stay a little bit later to get the full... What?
Fair enough.
I don't know. It, on my clock it says 20 after.
No, okay.
So my clock is not necessarily accurate.
21, yeah.
Okay, fine, it's 21. I knew somebody would catch me on my mistake by a minute, but the point is we have more or less 9 to 10 minutes. Maybe we could push it a little more if anybody wants to stay later. It's all optional. Anybody who comes this year, it's all optional from the get-go. Okay. I don't know where to start, but I'll try to start somewhere. The Torah testifies, Vayishvos, that Hashem rested on Shabbos. Again, for lack of a better word. Now, this is very strange, because our fundamental belief is God created the world, and the world continues to exist. How does it continue to exist? Because Mechadesh Tamid, there's something called an ongoing creation. The creative process is not a one-time process, but God is constantly breathing life into existence and constantly creating and recreating all the time. Now, last time I noticed that on Shabbos, everything still continued to exist. Isn't that true? And yet, God rested on the Shabbos. God rested from the Asar Mamoros Shabbam Nivru Olam. If his utterances stopped on Shabbos, then the whole world should have ceased to exist. It must be that Hashem continues the creative process even on Shabbos. And if that be the case, what do we mean when we say Vayishbos, when the Torah says that God rested on Shabbos? So in order to explain this, the Gaon Mivilna gives a mashal. In the laws of Shabbos, there's something called Ikar and Tofel. Something which is primary and something which is secondary. Take for example, you carry something on Shabbos from one reshus to another, you violate what's called Hotzah. But let's say you have less than a shear inside a kli, let's say the shear of Hotzah is a grogeris, whatever that is, it's not important for us now, and you have less than a grogeris. But you're carrying it inside a utensil. You've taken the utensil from one rishus to the other. Okay, you can't be chayav for the contents of the kli, but you should be chayav for the kli itself, for the utensil. The utensil, any utensil that you carry. The answer is, that's called tofel. Tofel means, I wasn't interested in moving the utensil from here to here. That's not my interest. I'm motivated to bring the contents that are being contained in this receptacle from place to place. Now, as far as the content is concerned, there was less than a grogeris. I can't be in violation of the Shabbos. Elo what? I should violate the Shabbos by moving the kli. The kli is tofel. The kli is secondary. It's like batel. It loses its reality. Oh. So now, how does this help us understand Shabbos and the creative process on Yom HaShvi? God created something on Yom HaShvi which is radically and essentially different than any other creation during the 6 days. And therefore, whatever creative process continues, as God continues to blow existence into reality, all that is tofel. All that is insignificant. It's secondary relative to something that's so much greater and so much more primary. It's a new creation that emerges on Yom HaShvi, and it's not similar to any of the other creations. Now, what did God create on the seventh day that is not at all similar to anything else that exists? Okay. So in order to appreciate that, we need another mashal. When an employee works for his employer, he gets paid. The payment is whatever it is. It could be currency, it could be a gift, whatever it might be, but it's something that was created by God during the 6 days of creation. That's called schar. Schar pu'ula, meaning compensation for, or wages for work that was done. Those wages exist, that those objects exist in and of themselves. They're now being used by the employer to pay his employee as wages. But there's another concept of schar that's fundamentally different, and it's not schar pu'ula, but it's called schar mitzvah. Schar mitzvah is something that doesn't exist except for the mitzvah itself. Meaning, God didn't, when we get rewarded for our mitzvahs, we're not rewarded the same way a poel is to be compensated and paid wages with something that exists in the universe. You know, I take this dollar bill and I give it to him, or I take a, you know, whatever physical object and give it to him. No, that's not what happens. There is no such object that exists in the 6 days of creation that's being designated as schar mitzvah. All those, let's call them ta'anugos or idunim that are, you know, whatever they look like and whatever they are, they're all spiritual. They're not like other religions believe they're physical. Those divine gifts are not created, are not part of the created world. It's something that's inherent in the mitzvah itself, and it fits the mitzvah. It doesn't exist independent of the mitzvah. It's part and parcel of the mitzvah. When was that created? When did the concept of schar mitzvah come into existence? That was created on Shabbos. And relative to all the other kinds of objects that could form and could serve as schar pu'ula, to pay wages to a worker, all of which are physical objects created during the 6 days of creation, those creations pale, they are insignificant, they are tafel in comparison to the creation, this great amazing creation called schar mitzvah. And therefore, although, says the Gaon, the creative process of God obviously continues during Shabbos, otherwise the world would revert to vohu, back to non-existence, to ayin, but nevertheless, that creative process is not significant, because shvisa means shvisa from something ikar, and not from something tofel. So if I move the kli, and it's secondary, I'm not interested in moving the kli, I'm not chayav for the kli, that doesn't undermine my shvisa. I'm still in a state of shvisa, fulfilling the mitzvah of Shabbos, even though I move the kli, because the kli is tough, Hashem is still in the state of shvisa, of vayishbos, even though he's creating, because those creations, with regard to everything that was already in existence by virtue of the 6 days of Maaseh, that creative process is secondary, and pales in comparison to this brand new creation of Shabbos, which is called schar mitzvah. That is the essence of Shabbos, my friends. That is what Shabbos is all about. Shabbos is all about this unbelievable creation that doesn't relate, that doesn't overlap with the entire creative process of the 6 days of Maaseh, called Schar Mitzvah. Schar Mitzvah is an entity unto itself, fundamentally different than any other schar. We use the word schar for pe'ula and for mitzvah, and it's the same word, but it only fools us. It works on, it eats away at our clear intellectual thinking, because we start equating the two, and we think, okay, God's going to take something and give it to us for the mitzvah that we do. No, that's not what it is. God's not taking something and doing it. There's a whole new creation called schar mitzvah. And that's what Shabbos is all about, the sanctity of Shabbos. If that be the case, says the Pachad Yitzchok, we understand why man could not come down from Shamayim on Shabbos. Why? Because, and here he says the following, that man is midway between the 6 days of Maaseh and the seventh day of Shabbos. Why? Because on the one hand, man is a schar pu'ula. What does it mean? That we are given the man, granted it for as payment, so to speak, like a poel, as wages, because we observe the Shabbos. So Hashem says, I'm going to give you the man. But the man itself belongs to a different world. It doesn't belong to the world of the created world. It belongs to a a spiritual world. In that sense, it's very similar to Schar Mitzvah, which is a new entity, a different reality than every other reality that exists during the Sheish Yimei HaMaaseh. And therefore, he says the following, that it would be impossible with regard to the man to continue its falling from Shemayim. That reality could not continue, because if that be the case, then it would be like a schar mitzvah kind of creation. But on the other hand, the man is also a schar pe'ula. So this integration of two different elements makes it impossible for the man to fall on Shabbos. I'll just read to you the key words, and then we'll try to wrap it up. He says that on the one hand, he says that the man is memutza. Memutza means emtza'i, it's midway, bein mahutshel avoda, meaning the schar that you give for work, ubein mahutshel schar, which belongs to the world of schar mitzvah. Mitzad echad, he says, he dugma shel mahutshel avoda. In other words, during the time of human life, we do the avoda and we get paid for avoda. Mitzad sheni mishtayeches hi l'mahut shel schar, belongs to that essential divine kind of schar. Sharehi babua veheid mitkufat haschar. In other words, it belongs to the world after death, when the God is going to reward us with the schar mitzvah, because b'hai ma'alma schar mitzvah hai alma leka. So the schar mitzvah belongs to a different world in the future. After this world will come to a termination, and then Mashiach will come, and so forth and so on, then there'll be the tkufa, the period of time of Kabbalah Schar Mitzvah. Right now we don't get Schar Mitzvah, that belongs to a different world, beyond this world. And man, although it belongs to this world, and the Bnei Yisrael are going to enjoy the man and sustain themselves in this world, but nevertheless the real man belongs to the world of Schar beyond this world. The Khan, he says, now we can understand Hefsek Pu'ulas Horadas Haman B'Shabbos, why the man had to stop on Shabbos, right? Ki alo mitoch shitas hagro lo madnu ki shvisa Shabbos kolels besocha gam shvisa michidush maise bereshis, because again that became tofel, maise bereshis became tofel. The imbecholzot einon motziim shum hefsek pu'ulas maise bereshis b'Shabbos, if we don't see it, because everything continues to be created even on Shabbos. Ein ze ela mipnei shehametzius shenolda b'Shabbos, meaning that schar mitzvah that we spoke about, manmich et komata shel pu'ulas maise bereshis madregas tofel. It lowers the creative process of the physical world and everything within to a lower level called tofel, and therefore it's still vayishpos. Umiata, and now imti motzei lanu mahut kazu, if we'll find some sort of entity, some sort of reality, asher b'chinatahi lios mimutzas, that it really is midway between bein sug hametzius hanolad b'Shabbos, between the reality of schar mitzvah that was created on Shabbos, bein sug hametzius hanivra b'sheishis yivei ha'maaseh, which sustains us during our physical existence in this world. If we find such a thing, if sharla lemahut zu shetifol pu'ulata b'Shabbat, such reality could not be an active reality on Shabbos itself. Why? Sharei mitzad heyotam mishtayechet l'sugam etziyut shel Shabbat, if it's similar to schar mitzvah and it really belongs to the future world, if shaloma ba shashabbat manichan komata, we won't be able to say that vis-a-vis this reality of schar man, we'll call it, is it's a tofel. It can't be a tofel. We cannot lower it to the state of a tofel, because it's very similar in its essence to schar Shabbos. So it's really an ikar and not a tofel. Vishuv mitzad heyotam mishtayechet l'mitziyut shel yimei avoda, but on the other hand, the man is meant to sustain us in this world. That's what he calls the Yimei Avoda, the Sheish Yimei HaMaaseh, is Shvisas HaShabbos, Machreches Hi Es Hefsei Pulasa. Now, because of Hashem's Tishbos, he has to desist from this Pu'ula. In any event, again, you know, there are a lot of nuances here that we won't get to, but just to circle back to the Maral Miprag that we started with, the Maral Miprag's point was that Yeridas Haman, or Hefsek Yeridas Haman on Shabbos, is a proof of Kedushas HaShabbos. Says the Pachad Yisrael, we don't need any proofs. The Torah itself says that God sanctified the Shabbos. But it reveals something about the nature of that Kedusha. The nature of that Kedusha is that God creates something on Shabbos, which is a new entity called Schar Mitzvah that belongs to another world, and it doesn't come from the world of Sheishit Yemei Amasa. It's no object or no experience that we have created within the six-day framework. And therefore the creation of these physical worlds, which is a continuation of what goes on in Sheishit Yemei Amasa, that's Ma'amaisa Bria, becomes Tofel, and therefore doesn't undermine the Tishbos. And we can understand that through the Ma'an. Why is it that the man couldn't fall on Shabbos? Because the man could not become a Tofel. On the one hand, the man had to belong to this world, what he calls the world of Avodah, because it had to sustain us as physical beings during the 40 years in the Midbar. But on the other hand, it really belongs to the world of Schar Mitzvah, which is unique in Shabbos. And insofar as it has that partnership, that overlap, that element of Schar Mitzvah, it cannot become a Tofel. And if it cannot become a Tofel, then what's going to happen over here? Hashem, if it cannot become a Tofel, has to desist from that creative process, and therefore the man has to fall a double portion on Erev Shabbos. So we studied tonight two different morals, both of which were analyzed meticulously by the Pachad Yitzchak. The first moral touched on the difference between the Nosein and the Makabel, the difference between the first four books of Chumash and the Mishneh Torah, the difference between the first set of Aseres HaDibros and the second, and that led us to shed a light on our parasha, Parshas Kitisa, that Shabbos here is Yitzias Mitzrayim, is the Makabel, and therefore Pesach has to come to set the framework and introduce Shabbos. And secondly, the Maral suggests that with regard to Shabbos and the Kedusha of Shabbos, the proof to the Kedusha of Shabbos is the man, that it didn't fall on Shabbos. And the Pachad Yitzchak says that proof really is not a proof. We don't need a proof. It just reveals the nature and the depth and the profound nature of Kedushas Shabbos. Okay, that's for tonight. Thank you so much.
It says in Davening in the morning that the mitzvahs have no fear except in the world to come. The mitzvahs are escorting the kala, visiting the sick, etc. These are mitzvahs that the fruits are eaten here, but the
That has to be analyzed. But the real Schar Mitzvah is going to come in the world to come. Because Schar Mitzvah really belongs to a different world. The premise is that God could still fulfill Tishbos if the creative process of the Sheishit Yemei Amasa is Tofel. If it's not Tofel, then there's no Tishbos. And if that be the case, since man cannot become Tofel, then Horodas HaMan B'Shabbos, insofar as it becomes an Ikar, because it's a Sug Mitzius Shel Shabbos, if that be the case, then Hashem's Tishbos is undermined. So in order to maintain that Tishbos, we have to assume that there was no Yeridas HaMan B'Shabbos. But again, the man was necessary in the world of Avodah, and therefore a double portion had to fall down on Shabbos. And he writes here, Ilmoli Torah Tofel Hamachadesh is Pur B'Shabbos, then there could not be a Shvisa. And he writes that Haman Ein Bo El Lakita is Bal Karchu Posek B'Shabbos. And he says, "Hinni mamtir lechem lechem neshamayim efshal lifal b'shabbos mipnei shalechem hazeh hu dugma limahus shel schar, meaning schar mitzvah. Liolam ein lo lesug mitzir shel schar derech lifal b'toras tofel shvisa shabbos nemer ba mikol malachta." Klomer ena shvisa rak mi ishavus hametzius al gam mikiyum hametzius. So therefore, he says he efshar lehamtir min aman b'toras tofil lakein so teresi shvisa shabbos, and therefore there could be no nefilas ha man b'shabbos.